With the Lord's help, I will speak to you once again this evening from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, the latter part of verse 19 and verse 20. The fifth chapter, the Gospel according to Mark, part of verse 19 and verse 20. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Mark chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. In this amazing account of the salvation of the mad Gadarene, there are three prayers. Three prayers. And two were answered, and one was not answered. There was the prayer of the devils. They prayed the Lord Jesus, that as they were cast out of the Gadarene, they might enter into the swine. You think devils praying? And the Lord Jesus answered their prayer. And then the second prayer was the people of the district, the Gadarenes. They prayed the Lord Jesus, and they prayed him to depart from their country. A terrible prayer. And it was immediately answered. The Lord went to the ship and sailed back to the other side, to Capernaum. And the third prayer was a different prayer. It was the prayer of this poor man who was ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And what a prayer it was. It was a prayer of love. Oh, he loved the Saviour so much, who'd done so much for him. And his prayer was that he might be with the Saviour, that he might go with him, that he might follow him wherever he went. And that prayer was not answered. We have it here, don't we? Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. So we have this great mystery. People sometimes call it the problem of unanswered prayer. You think of it, the prayer of the devil was on, these devils were answered. And the prayer of these wicked men in Gadara, that was answered. Oh, and this loving prayer. He longed to be with the Saviour. And that was not answered. I realise this is a strange way of speaking and a strange way to begin a sermon. But there may be some of you here this evening who are perplexed because some of your prayers are not answered. Especially if you're tempted that that's because you're out of the secret. But the only one who was right here, his prayer wasn't answered. And those who were wrong, their prayers were answered. But you know, beloved friends, when the Lord doesn't answer our prayers, there's always a reason for it. And it's because he knows what is best. And he knows what is best for you and me. And he knows the unknown way. And he knows what is before us. We're told that he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. You know, there are many of the Lord's people when they've been abundantly blessed. They've prayed the Lord that they might be with him. That is, that they might soon be taken to glory. They couldn't bear to stay on earth and fall back again into sin or become hardened. And they longed that they might be with that Saviour they so much loved. But it's not the purpose of the Lord that his people, as soon as they're called by grace and blessed with the love of Christ in their heart, they'll be taken straight away to heaven. Many of them have longed for it. And the reason is he'll have a witness here upon earth. That's why he says, Father, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. The Lord will always have his witnesses. He'll have his witnesses to the end of time. And that was the reason why he refused the request made in such love and such fervour by this poor man, or should we say this rich man, abundantly blessed. The Lord would have him to be a witness. Now, I spoke to you this afternoon that the Lord's people are called to be witnesses. He doesn't say you've got to be witnesses, you must be witnesses. He says, you are my witnesses. If you and I have professed the Lord's name, then we're witnesses in this world. In the sight of God, in the sight of Satan, before the world, before the people of God, before the young people, before our children, we are witnesses. This Gadarene that the Lord had dealt with so graciously, he was a witness before he'd ever opened his mouth. And how was that? Well, they knew what he'd been, but they knew what he was now. Now, beloved friends, the Lord says, ye are my epistles, seen and read of all men. Now, the world around, they don't read the epistle to the Romans or the epistle to the Galatians, do they? But they read you. And they know whether your profession... And the way you behave or in agreement is a terrible thing if there's a contrast. But before this man had opened his mouth, they saw there was a gracious change. And they had to confess it was nothing but the power of Christ could do it. Clothed. And in his right mind. And sitting at the feet of Jesus. And they marvelled at it. You know, people will marvel at a work of grace. They don't understand it. They don't like it. But they marvel at it. When they see the difference. When they know what a person was. When they see the change. But this was the Lord's loving purpose. The life of this Gadarene, it hadn't got to be lived following the Saviour bodily. It had got to be lived in the place where he was brought up, where people had known him before, and now where they would see the difference. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And hath had compassion on thee. Do you not admire the mercy of the Lord here? The people begged him to depart from them. They thought more about their pigs and their money and their worldliness and their contentment than they thought about the salvation of their souls. And wickedly they asked him to depart from them, and he did. But don't you see the mercy in it, that he still left them a witness? Oh, what a wonderful mercy it is that in England today, amidst all the evil that takes place, the Lord still maintains a witness. He says that ye should show forth, not just sing it forth in chapel, and not just tell it forth, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. If ever a sinner was called out of darkness into God's marvellous light, it was this man who we usually call the mad Gadarene. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. Now, I've never come across a commentator who mentions it or a preacher who speaks about it. But in pondering this passage today, it struck me again and again that the Lord said, go home to thy friends. He wouldn't have thought he had any friends, would you? I mean, he'd been an evil man. He was a terror to the countryside. It was a disgrace. He was wicked. He was doing nothing but harm to himself and others. No one could control him. He was a pest. And go home to thy friends. So he must have still had some friends who were concerned about him. Perhaps they'd known him in better days. Perhaps they were even his own relatives. But he still had some friends. And that's an interesting thing. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. and have had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis the obedience of faith. He submitted to the Lord's will. He walked in obedience to him. And this was just, he began. It suggests that he continued. And in this evil part, there was a living witness to the truth as it is in Jesus, a living witness to his power to save. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Well, just to pause here and linger here, beloved friends. He wanted to follow the Lord there, but the Lord told him to follow the Lord here. And the bounds of your habitation are appointed. And maybe you think this is the place, and the Lord says, no, it's that. Sometimes against your will, you have to leave where you are, and you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, not that. The Gadarene thought it was that, this is the way, walk ye in it. I go back to those days when I was so deeply burdened. And really, I never did want to leave the north of England and come south. And it was the first year I'd never given an answer. It was the second year I hadn't given an answer, and I couldn't give an answer. And I wrestled all day long. Had I got to stay here? Or had I got to go there? And it was preaching service at night. And the minister took for his text, he led them out as far as to Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And he began to speak something like this. Well, he could have blessed them in Jerusalem, couldn't he? Of course he could, but he didn't. They got to go out. They got to go out as far as Bethany. That was the place he was going to bless them, not Jerusalem, Bethany. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And not till they got there did he bless them. And when they got there, he did. And really, he said, you'll have to go out as far as Bethany. And you'll find Bethany the place of love. And when you get to Bethany, the Lord will bless you there. And the next day, I wrote a letter accepting my pastorate. Oh, but you had it with John Warburton, didn't he? Long and wrestle and pray. He's not Trowbridge, Lord, Maidstone. Until the Lord strongly settled him, if he went to Maidstone, it would be dry and arid and barren, but this is the appointed place. We do need to seek to walk tenderly in the fear of God. Whether we go or whether we stay. Isn't there one of our little hymns say something like that? Lord, may thy spirit, or is it, lead me when to go or when to stay. Attract me with the cords of love and I will not delay. He prayed him that he might be with him. Did you notice the account we read tonight in Luke? No, the account we read this afternoon in Luke, it said he besought him. He besought him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. So, if you plan to go here, but it's the Lord's plan for you to go there, seek grace to walk in obedience, and when you come there, you'll find that the Lord will not fail you. It will be this, the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be afraid. Joshua walked that out, and he proved the faithfulness of God in it. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on him. I don't know if you've noticed, this is different from all the other miracles. I think it's the only one which tells us what happened afterwards. We have the raising of Jairus' daughter we read of. We don't read a word about her afterwards. We read about the woman with the issue of blood and the wonderful miracle there. We don't hear anything about her afterwards. And you can go through a lot of them. The widow of Nain, the leper, Bartimaeus, you don't hear anything. We'd love to know about them, but the Lord in his wisdom has left a silence. But not so with this man. It was a wonderful case. Divine power, sovereign grace over sin abounding, a display of mercy. And so we're favoured to know a bit more. The openings of providence, what happened afterwards in the life of this poor man, this rich man. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Some people felt that what the Lord Jesus said to the Magadarene was a call to the ministry. Well, the Word of God doesn't make it clear whether it really was a call for him to be a preacher, or whether he was just to go and testify to his friends. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. But whether it was really a call to the Gadarene to be a preacher or not, if a person is commissioned by the Lord of life and glory to go forth in his name to preach, surely, surely, beloved friends, this is what has to be the subject of his preaching, the subject of his ministry. Tell what his arm has done, what spoils his grace has won. Tell his great name alone, worthy the Lamb. Oh, this is what he got to speak about. The great things that the Lord hath done for thee. So, this should be the subject of our preaching. The great things that our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, has done. Oh, may those who are preachers be able to do it. be able to say, my heart is inditing a good matter. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I speak of those things which I have made, touching the King. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath blessed thee forever. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. Not to speak about yourself, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Not just to keep on a line of experience, and not just to speak only of providence, and certainly not just to entertain with tales. Oh, but tell them the great things that the Lord has done. As a young pastor, I had three most godly old deacons, and before I used to go in the pulpit, they used to say, speak well of him, speak well of him. Well, that's the gospel ministry, isn't it? Oh, but to be sweetly enabled to point sinners to the dying Lamb. To speak of the one sacrifice, the great day of atonement, the removing of the sin of the land in one day, as far from the east as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our iniquities from us. To speak of his mercy and his love and his power to save, and as we have it here, the Lord Jesus picks this one point out, and it's a delightful point, isn't it? His compassion. His compassion. Oh, we have it so often, don't we? His compassions fail not. They didn't fail with this poor man. Everybody else's compassions had failed, and their pity and their patience and everything else. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, we talk about the Lord Jesus being compassionate, don't we? A compassionate Saviour. But the Word of God doesn't say that. It said he's full of compassion. Full of compassion. And what a blessed suitability is there in the fullness of compassion that there is in Christ, and the emptiness and the need of compassion in poor unworthy sinners. Nothing but compassion would do with this poor man. But as Joseph Hart tells us, you can't say his compassion is greater than his power, or his power greater than his compassion. All the power displayed here. But gospel ministers, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done. And he said, it's done for thee. For may we not get out of our depths, but may we be able to speak personally of these things. Not to be talking about ourselves, but not speaking as strangers of these things, just speaking of them as doctrines. I think one thing that gospel preachers dread is, as Philpott said, to speak the glories of Christ with a heart as hard as steel. You know, this Gadarene, he didn't have a heart as hard as steel. I believe he had a loving heart, a flaming heart, a heart in which the love of Christ was shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. But what a theme, an inexhaustible theme for gospel preachers. Go home to thy friends and tell them. That's preaching, isn't it? Telling them who the Lord is and what he's done. Some of you may have heard of that very peculiar, very quaint, but very remarkable and much blessed preacher, the Welsh preacher Christmas Evans. It won't be right for anybody to emulate or try to imitate his preaching, but one of his famous sermons is on this text and this passage. And he envisages this man walking home in his quaint way. He said he's walking straight instead of climbing head first over hedges and ditches. And he envisages someone saying to him, what's happened? And he starts off, well, I met a man came, Jesus, and he interrupted and said, well, who is this Jesus? And then, you've never heard a sermon like it. Christmas Evans speaking. Do you want to know who this Jesus is? Oh, then listen and let me tell you. Oh, but living tongues are dumb at best. We must die to speak of Christ. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. In salvation, in shedding his precious blood, that there might be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. This is what the living family of God want to hear. This is what longing souls want to hear. They want to hear where there's any ground for their hope, where their anchor can be cast, how their sins can be forgiven. Is there any way by which they can come to heaven? Tell them the great things the Lord has done. Who he is, the Son of God, a real man, the union of the two natures in one divine person. Oh, tell what he has done, and tell of his love, his mercy, but don't forget to tell of his compassion. And especially that little hymn, which I do like, and we don't seem to sing so much, but we do sometimes at the Lord's table. This was compassion like a God, that when the Saviour knew the price of pardon was his blood, he pity ne'er withdrew. I know that little three-verse hymn ends up with his compassion and his love streaming through his bleeding side. This is what seeking souls need to hear. This is what the family of grace long to hear. And there's a promise attached to it. And I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. There's a sweet attraction in the preaching of Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. Now, the Gadarene couldn't preach that, could he? Because it hadn't yet taken place. But in the substance he preached it. Christ crucified. To the Jew a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to them who were called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. But it may not have been that this dear man, and I think we can call him a dear man, can't we? Perhaps he wasn't officially accounted a preacher. But he was told he mustn't be quiet. I know I do want to speak carefully, advisedly here, but there seems to be a deaf and dumb spirit over our churches at present. If you haven't got to say, well, don't try to say it. But if the Lord has done something for you in love and mercy, you must speak about it. There is coming before the Lord's people, the church, come and hear all ye that fear God. I'll declare unto you what he hath done for my soul. For if they should hold their peace, the very stones would cry out. This money couldn't hold his peace. There's also a Christian conversation. I remember my old spiritual mentor, F.L. Rowell of Rochdale, in the pulpit once, saying that, he said, when I was a boy, it used to rain like it rains today, but I never heard the godly old people talking about the weather outside the chapel. But didn't the young ones love to creep behind the old ones as they spoke so simply and graciously in love of what the Lord in mercy done for them. Go home to thy friends. And that's the place where you're to go, to thy friends. You know, some people are tempted to go somewhere else where they're not known. They think it'll be easier. The Lord says, go home to thy friends. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. You know what your unbelief is saying, even while I'm preaching, and what Satan will tell you when you've gone home? That you only know a little. You say, I haven't got great things. Well, beloved friends, that's not the point. Some have a dramatic call by grace. Some don't. You read the epistles to Timothy. Oh, didn't Paul have a wonderful calling? And Timothy, well, he was just brought up and taught lessons by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Now, Paul never, never despised Timothy. And he never said, I've got something better than you. And when he bears his testimony, he doesn't say, Timothy, I had the most blessed experience that anybody ever had being cut down on the road to Damascus. He doesn't say that at all. He says, no, Timothy, I know whom I have believed. I know where my anchor's cast. I know where my hope rests. I know what my only foundation is. Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and that's my hope of salvation, my hope of heaven. That's a great thing I've got to tell. Not what happened on the road to Damascus. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. But one of our hymns that says, what call we great things? What call we small things? For a sinner to pass from death to life, that's a great thing. For a sinner not to be left in unconcern, the great point is reality. Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood. Do I know myself? And do I know the Saviour? I remember the first time I heard Mr. J.S. Gosling preach. He almost started like this. He said, real religion is very simple, but it's very solemn. And really it consists in just two things. The knowledge of self and the knowledge of God. The knowledge of self as a sinner and the knowledge of God in Christ as a saviour. Now that's it. To know my Jesus crucified, that's a great thing. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. You know, the Lord's people love to hear the little ones speak of Jesus. With pleasure we behold Emmanuel's offspring come, and with wonder we attend, while they're the sinner's friend, with tears of holy joy extol. Well, beloved friends, those of you who know me realise that I've been preaching on a different line, I think, today than any of you have ever heard me. But gospel ministers must always preach, only preach as they're led. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, the obedience of faith, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him.